And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us or staying with us. It's Morning Drive, Hour 2, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and the Constable. Speaking of the Constable, we will get to the latest contemplation coming up in just a couple of minutes, as well as his one-on-one with Colton Sissons last night. But the Preds get a 2-1 win over the Kings. We started the show talking about that. One thing I do want to mention, Roman Josi last night, a goal and an assist. In a season where we've pointed out a handful of guys that have had a really good year, and we've certainly spotlighted a lot of guys that have underachieved, have we given Roman Josi his just due?
Chase, and you can check on this number. I believe they threw it up on the television last night. That's 4 seasons now with 50 points as a Nashville Predator. Is he the first defenseman to ever do that in Predators history?
Yeah, the franchise record for that.
So
that.
Four seasons now of 50 points or more for Roman Josi, and he's picking up his game at the time that this team needs it the most, while wearing the C on his sweater. So I don't think he's undervalued, because I think he's still viewed as the captain and one of the best players on the team. I just think maybe the fact that he's been carrying them through some of these games and had a great game against Dallas, a great game last night. You're starting to see, all right, if he's going to play like that every single night, this team is much harder to beat. And that's what you want out of your captain. So I think you could absolutely give him some more credit if you want.
Let's get to the head coach, Peter Laviolette. Last night postgame, asked if he agrees that the Predators' best hockey is ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, I do. There's pieces of it that I like. Like, I like the Dallas game. I really like the first two periods tonight. I thought that we maybe were a little bit too defensive in the third period tonight. But then once they scored, I thought we played our best in the third period after that. So there's been some good things, and then there's been some games that we'd like to forget. You know, the game in St. Louis, the game in Vegas, those are a couple tough games for us. But, you know, we're trying to be consistent. We're trying to get on a little bit of a roll. I think confidence comes from that when you start winning hockey games on a more regular basis. And so, you know, now we got a couple behind us and see if we can go throttle down from there.
So they've been able to win 2 in a row. Now, you can't get too crazy because the Kings are just a god-awful team. But does it feel like this team might be on that uptick?
I don't know, because 2 games is not normally an uptick when you look at what, you know, San Jose is doing right now. They've won, what, 8 out of 10? You look at what St. Louis has done in the last couple of weeks. You look at some of these teams that have won, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 games out of 13 or 14 or 15 games. I think you need to see more of it, but it certainly is positive to pick up 4 points in the last couple of days, right? I mean, I think that's critical, especially against Dallas on the road like that. But it wasn't that long ago they played probably their worst game of the entire season on Saturday night. We're not even a week removed from that. So I think I need to see a lot more before I start to feel better about how they're playing. It's a good start, though. I mean, you got to start somewhere, right?
Technically in first place, 1 point ahead
first
of Winnipeg.
Place. Yeah, there you go.
Despite the Jets with 3 in hand, and now in comes Colorado tomorrow for a 4:30 game, and I believe Colorado is the 8th seed if the playoffs were to start.
And St. Louis lost the game finally, so last night. That's good. Give yourself a little cushion there as far as that is concerned. No, I don't think Colorado's the 8th seed right now. I think if you look at the 8th seed, you'd have Winnipeg and St. Louis in theory playing right now. Nashville would play Minnesota, it looks like, and then Dallas would take on Nashville in the first round. Mm-hmm. So again, these things are all going to change like 1,000 times. So you just sort of like glance at it and you go, oh, those are the matchups. Okay, but Colorado's a big game in the division at home over the weekend.
I know one thing. I'm ready to get this trade deadline over with. You know, I put the question out there the other day about do you like the rumors and all that? And it's fun. Like, this is a fun time of year for me. But I think Twitter has exhausted me because I'm tired of
all that. You know
what?
I'm going to disagree with you on this. And okay. I tweeted this out yesterday. I don't recall the NHL having this much of a buzz to the trade deadline. This feels almost like the NBA does a really good job of creating hype around free agency and the trade deadline.
Baseball
does as well.
Really good. Right.
And it feels like the NHL, for the first time that I can recall, a trade deadline is very juicy.
I don't think it's the first time. I just think it's the first time in a while that it's been this juicy, because you've
huge
had
names.
Right, and there's a bunch of names. And in years past, at least the last few years, you've had so many teams that were still in it that they weren't selling off assets. Now you have a ton of bubble teams that are looking at You know, I'll use Columbus as an example, and they're not necessarily a bubble team. They're in contention. But they have a guy in Artemi Panarin that they don't know what to do with because they know he's not coming back, but they want to get something for him. But they also want to replace him so they can continue their playoff push. So it's a really tough position to be in.
I'm with you, Nick. I'm fascinated by it. Like, I'm watching Twitter just waiting for a story to break.
Mm-hmm. Like, and so am I. I'm just like, tired of all the overreaction.
Well, and that's because this is again another lesson on how to use Twitter. Don't look at fanboy who's just, you know, tweeting screaming emojis into the ethos because,
like, trade PK.
He doesn't. Yeah, like just you know.
Dude, they're not trading PK.
Like, just don't. Who cares? Don't let it bother you. What's fun is, though, to see real reporters saying a lot of different things almost every day. Like, we're hearing this and we're hearing that, and you know, and we know these 8 or 10 players are on the trading block, and that part is fascinating because there will be dominoes that fall, right? It may not be the Predators that make the first move. If it's Winnipeg or Vegas or Calgary or San Jose that makes a big move, or St. Louis or Dallas or whatever, you're going to start to see people react to that. And then all of a sudden, all weekend long, we could be just covering all these crazy trades, and then every team looks differently on Monday afternoon. I'm all in on it. I think it's great. That's because I'm ignoring the fans, though.
Who is the and you guys, I know you would know or will know, who is the Adam Schefter of NHL?
You got the Dragers, the LeBrons.
Yeah. So what are they
Elliot
saying?
Friedman.
So what are they saying as far as the,
I mean, a million things.
And,
Matt Duchene. There's a lot of smoke surrounding Matt Duchene from Ottawa. And he was scratched. He was a healthy scratch last night along with Dzingel and Mark Stone. So the big I call them the big three in Ottawa were all scratched last night. Many believe that Duchene will be moved by Monday's trade deadline, and there are a ton of dots connecting Nashville. Those two have wanted to get together for a long time. And
what's the time on Monday? Is it like 3 o'clock?
Two central.
Well, the other thing I'm seeing a lot of is that, and this was yesterday from a lot of those sort of Adam Schefter types in the NHL, is that people are starting to get teams are starting to get anxious because no big domino has fallen yet, and nobody wants to wait until Monday and be left sort of in the duck-duck-goose game without a chair, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or I guess that's the wrong. I think I just mixed my game.
Musical chairs.
Yeah. I just mixed my childhood games.
Duck,
my bad.
Duck goose and yeah. Musical chairs.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
duck chairs.
Like, I mixed
musical
like four.
Duck.
I mixed Foursquare with Butts Up. I mixed those two games together. But basically that teams are there's a more frantic sort of sense of urgency with all these general managers that people want to be. You don't want to be the last one, right? Because if you're the last one, you're probably going to overpay for somebody you don't want as much, and so there is a sense of urgency, and that means at any moment it could happen in 5 minutes, it could happen in 5 hours, it could happen tomorrow, but it's probably going to happen before the deadline at Monday. It's probably going to happen over the weekend when the first domino falls, and then once that first domino falls, then all heck's going to break loose.
However, I do believe there will be a lot of activity on Monday because I think what's going to happen is whoever you consider to be the biggest domino, whether it's Panarin or Duchene or Stone or it doesn't matter, once that happens, then you'll see the dominoes fall, but then there's going to be a flurry of other small trades. Like, I don't know. Like, Nashville could make the big deal, and that's it. David Poile's done. It wouldn't shock me if there's a big deal and maybe one small deal to go with it because it depends on what you have to give up. If it's Matt Duchene and you believe everything you're reading, they might have to replace somebody. So I think that's something that you have to watch with other teams, not just Nashville. But for to answer your original question, Elliot Friedman is a good follow. Darren Dreger is a good follow. Bob McKenzie is a good follow. So
Pierre
LeBrun, of course, is a good one. Those are the insiders, and those are the ones you can really trust.
Okay, coming up next, you will hear Colton Sissons one-on-one, and then also a Friday contemplation. That is next on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Nashville's best sports talk. 7:15, welcome back into Morning Drive here on this Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. A contemplation coming up in just a moment, but first, a little one-on-one, Chase McCabe with Colton Sissons.
Colton, you look at this game tonight, it looked like one of those complete 60-minute efforts. I know they got the goal late in the third there, but it seems like you guys had everything clicking tonight.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, I think we played We played really hard all night and definitely wanted it, definitely showed up, and didn't really take any periods of the game off, which we wanted to correct lately, and we did a good job of that, and still have some things we can clean up and get better at, as always, but definitely another step in the right direction.
To watch Turris in the year he's had with the injuries and to battle back and then tonight get on the board and get that goal, that had to be good for the bench.
Yeah, it made me feel good. He's been there with us and been a great teammate and been a great guy for us since he came to us last season, and been a real grind for him, so sure that felt good for him.
How much are you guys paying attention to the standings and things going on? Winnipeg has kind of had their struggles as of late. You guys are in a very good position right now. But do you guys talk about that? Do you look at that, or just game by game?
Yeah. We look at the standings every single day, watch highlights. We're all hockey fans, and we're all watching it all the time. You can't not see it, put it that way. So we watch it and know when they're big games for us to grab first in our division or first in the West, things like that, and definitely mark certain occasions on the calendar.
Is it also a little tough this time of year, knowing the deadline's coming on Monday, of just putting that noise away and focusing on what's going on the ice?
Not for me personally. You can ask other guys. Maybe they have a different perspective depending on the situation they're in. But I just focus on what I can do here for our team. And the rest is just noise, like you said.
So that was Colton Sissons last night post game with the Constable Chase McCabe. A little one-on-one. And, you know, you had mentioned something along the lines of, you know, a full 60 minutes. It seems like he was kind of the belief, but they still could go even a little better.
Yeah, I liked his answer because he said, you know, I don't think we played a bad period, but there are still some things we can clean up. And I would agree with that. I think that's something we've been talking about this morning. Now it's just putting it together in consistent games, and now they've won back-to-back. So can you turn it around and keep it going with Colorado and get three in a row now? If they keep playing this way, then I think the question to Peter Laviolette, do you think the best hockey is ahead of you? The answer would be yes, but it's all about consistency, and that's been the whole issue this year.
Well, there's no other choice. I mean, yeah, at this point, you're. I mean, listen, you're in first place, so let's not say back against the wall.
Yeah.
It's a little dramatic for a first-place team, but the bottom line is you've got less than 20 games to go, and we're about to turn the calendar into March. If you don't start playing your best hockey soon, then you're going to get eliminated. So that's it. There's no choice here.
You know what's so crazy, and I was talking to Brent Peterson about this before the game yesterday, that we've had this conversation for months now about inconsistencies and, you know, playing your best hockey and injuries and things like that. And during this entire stretch, they've been second in the Central, only a few points back, and now they're in first. So it's not like they have been so out of the picture that the sky is falling, even though sometimes it feels like, you know, back to Twitter.
And I feel like we say that every day on the show.
It's I know.
Every day on the show, it's like, power play sucks. It's awful. It's terrible. Second line scoring's an issue. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, they're like 3 points out of first place in the Western Conference.
But
like,
it's just,
we
it's
say
a,
that every day.
It's a stark contrast to where they were to start the year 13-3 and where they were all of last year when they ended up winning the President's Trophy.
And then, and again, this is the Mariota Titans thing. The Titans' worst season under Marcus Mariota, statistically, is the year they went to the playoffs and won a game. The year that the Preds go to the Cup Final is the year that they had Pekka had his worst season of the last 4 or 5 years. They played their worst hockey throughout the course of the season. They didn't exactly finish the month of March and April like on some scorching tear. They were good, but their last 10 games, I think they were like 6-4-1 their last 11 or something like that. It wasn't like they were destroying people. So it's just the nature of sports. You can be the best team in the history of your organization and get eliminated in the second round. The Titans had a far better football team this year and 2 years ago probably, but didn't make the playoffs. Well, they make the playoffs when they're statistically at their worst. The Preds go the farthest when they're the worst. I mean, you throw your hands up sometimes because sports are frustrating.
Here's my question, and I'll throw this at Derek because he'd probably be the best to answer this, and I don't know if there is a right answer. But is there a sweet spot for, you know, whether it's a football team or a hockey team that you know you're going to make the playoffs? And so you find that sweet spot at the end of the regular season to really start playing your best, where you've played well enough all year long to get yourself into this position, but now you go up a level and you carry that over into the playoffs. Is there a sweet spot? Is there like a time that you aim for, or does it just happen?
I don't think there's a time that you aim for, because if you start setting, you know, these time limits. We need to be X before this. If you never get to it, then, you know, it becomes a distraction to the team, because now you're pulling at straws, you're grabbing and doing things that you don't normally do, because you feel, oh, we set this mark at, you know, during the season and we hadn't reached it yet. I think it's one of those things where it just happens. You hope to be playing, you know, you hope to start off the season right, and then in the middle of the season, because you know it's long, you just try to continue to play good hockey or football or basketball, whatever the case may be. But then at the end, that's where a lot of teams want to be playing their best basketball, I mean their best hockey or basketball or football. It's not because we're saying, okay, we're going to take this point of time off and then we're going to really kick it in at the end. It's one of those things where it just happens. It's just, you know, as a team, whether you're playing good team sports or if you're not. Right now, I think for the Predators, it's, they're not playing great hockey and they're not playing bad hockey. It's sort of that, you know, what we said, they're playing inconsistent hockey. They want to get it to a point where they're playing consistently. And it might not show up in wins. That's what people got to understand. It might not show up in wins because the people on the other, you know, the people with the other sticks, they get paid too. You know, they get paid to stop you from scoring.
Yeah, but you know, in the world of sports, nobody wants to, as far as fans,
I know
they don't
fans,
hear that.
But
right.
And that's the thing.
It's
fans
not, that,
don't
it's not that they outplayed us. It's, well, we didn't do this,
exactly.
That, and the other.
Exactly. It's sometimes just like Winnipeg.
They make millions of dollars too.
Like Winnipeg last season in the playoffs. They just outplayed the Preds, the seven. Like, they were just a better team.
Like, wait a second,
flat
Alabama,
out.
Wait a second, Alabama fans. Clemson players are on scholarship too.
Exactly.
Oh,
so I think you got to realize that even though it might not end up in a win, they still might be playing good, consistent hockey, and that's all you want in the playoffs. I know the fans, they look at it, oh, they didn't win, or, you know, they keep on going up and down, and we see it that way sometimes too. But I think come toward the end of the season, if you're playing good hockey, if the team feels, okay, we're playing good, but it's just not going our way. Some teams are, you know, they're playing a little bit better. But if we're consistently playing good, that's all you want. You know, sometimes it might not end up in a win.
Build on the two wins. You've started that process. You're not yet in March. You've got two wins against one against a critical team you needed to win on the road, and you did it in sort of comeback fashion. You handle, you know, it was a little tougher than it should have been probably against L.A. last night, but you handled your business. You got a power play goal. Kyle Turris got off the schneid, all this stuff. Like, all right, that's a foundation to a start to playing your best hockey. Now continue that down the stretch, and let's see you do it again on Saturday.
What
let's
is it? What they
it
have
again
like,
next
what, 20,
week.
Like 20 games left, somewhere around that, 20 some games?
I think it's 19.
Just 19 about. Games left. Just say, for instance, you know, they go, you know, 11-8. Let's just say 11-8. I'm not,
dude,
let's
go,
throw out the ties.
Go,
and
go
all
11,
this.
Like 11-6-2.
Okay, let's say 11-6-2.
That's pretty good hockey.
But what if they, it's just, Even in the losses, they're playing really good. But the teams that they lost to, that they lose to, they're just good hockey teams. I don't want fans to look at it, oh, look at them. They lost to such and such. No, but if they're playing good hockey, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to see. I just want to see Lavi get up to the podium and say, even in a loss, if he says, you know what, our team played good. We did this. We did that. They were just a better team. I feel good about it.
Okay.
I would take 11-5-2 to finish the season in a heartbeat.
Well, and that could very well get you the Central.
And that could win the Central. I would take that in a heartbeat.
All right, so the Vols will try to win two in a row tomorrow. The Preds have won two in a row. Good vibes are a-coming, and contemplations are a-flowing.
It's Friday. It's been a long week. The rain has tried to wreck your good vibes. Even though it's not going away, find your warm, happy place and push the clouds aside. You can be your own sunshine. Sunshine. You can be your own sunshine. Finish the week strong and have a fantastic weekend.
Namaste.
Be well. I don't like the shot that was taken at my
Okay, that was not a shot. As soon as you read it, I'm like, oh,
he said, the
no.
rain has tried to wreck your good vibes. I almost died 2 days ago, Chase.
No, I know.
Right?
Like,
I'm not very contemplative right now.
I am sorry. Actually, that was not meant to be anything.
Actually,
I am very contemplative.
Guys.
I've been contemplating my existence the last 2 days.
Guys.
No joke.
Namaste, okay?
Namaste.
What does that mean?
Usa, namaste.
What does namaste mean?
It means... means have a good day.
Means chill out.
Namaste.
Usa.
Seize the day.
Every time I hear
Are you finished?
With the contemplation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a long time ago. When I started screaming, that's when the contemplation ends.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Well, typically it ends with...
My voice started screaming, I'm like...
It ends with be well.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, be well, yeah.
You got to tag it, though. Constable contemplation.
Oh, that's true. I did not tag it. This Constable Contemplation brought to you by...
I get a lot of coaching about tagging things
sales
on the show.
Did you hear that? Let's get the Contemplation sponsored, all right?
Yeah.
Let's get that done. We need a lettuce sponsor for
it. I think the Constable needs to be sponsored.
The lettuce needs a sponsor.
Yoga studio needs to sponsor that.
Well, you're Mr. Yoga.
Yeah.
Next time you go in for a session, start working a little business.
Absolutely.
So it can be Morning Drive with Nick Cale, Braden Gall, and Derek Mason featuring the Constable brought to you by...
How about
insert
how about Woodhouse Day Spa?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be good.
Woodhouse Day Spa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now you just say it. It just comes out.
Oh, and by, speaking of me botching things with reeds, so I go up to Hermitage Golf Course 2 days ago, pick up some sticks, and I see one of the head bosses there.
They had you go all the way up there
sticks?
after the storm to pick up sticks.
I had to make a change to the bag.
They really did that?
Had to add, you know.
Some branches fell. They had to pick up sticks.
Yeah, a couple of sticks. And
did the wife approve this?
No, there was no purchase. Sticks? There was just a little swappage.
Oh, okay. Swappage.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the boss of advertising there, Ashley, says, yeah, and she's a Bama grad. She goes, yeah, I just came back from the Bama cruise to...
Kazumo.
And I didn't want to say the city. I'm like, oh no, it's Cozumel. I was like, how was Cozumel?
How was Mexico?
How was Mexico?
Yes, how was Mexico?
She's like, oh yeah, you know, Derek Lassick was there, Fernando Bryant, Kareem Jackson. She's going through all these Bama players. And I'm like,
there are just certain words that I would just like, I will catch myself like in a sentence building up to that word. And I just try to change it. I'm like, I'm not even going
to
try to change that.
I'm not even going to try
to say that one because I just can't ever get that stinking word out of my mouth.
All right, coming up next, one coach in college football is trash-talking the SEC. Stay there. It's Morning Drive here on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Guys, want to tell you about my night last night. So I'm not sure if this is a healthy description of my life, but it was pretty nice. It was pretty spectacular. So I had the Preds game on one television. I had Walking Dead on the other television. I'm in the sixth season. I got a lot of thoughts on Walking Dead. Don't get me started on Walking Dead because I'm really concerned about the character arcs in that show and why they took them 5 seasons to leave Georgia. But I digress. I got the laptop up. I got the cell phone going. My wife's in the other room in the living room with the TV going. She's watching some show about six daughters, and she's got the iPad going, looking at Instagram. We've got like a 9-screen experience going, and all of it is running perfectly smoothly because of Xfinity's XFi Wi-Fi in the house. They got over 18 million hotspots nationwide. Setting it up is super easy. Whether you're moving and you're changing providers, they'll make sure everything happens smoothly. We moved into our new house, and all of my devices, all of my smart TVs, all of the phones, everything, all of it just connected directly to the new system. Automatically, they had it all set up. So moving is easy. Getting it set up and making the purchase is easy, and it's going to be the best XFi Wi-Fi experience your house has ever seen. Again, I think we had like 9 screens going last night. I'm not sure what that says about us, but they all were running perfectly smoothly because of Xfinity. So check it out, Xfinity.com, 1-800-XFINITY, or pop into an Xfinity store for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nick Cale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Chase McCabe with you. Busy show, still a lot to get to. Teron Davenport will join us top of the hour. We'll get to some football right now, but it's of the collegiate world. Mm-mm. One coach in the Big 12, maybe throwing a little shade towards the Southeastern Conference.
I had a quick rap. It's just like a two-liner. We were playing that, and I just had a one-liner. I don't know if it rhymed, but I'm going to try to.
Okay. Do you realize building this up to this means automatic failure? Right?
Just waking up in the morning, got to thank God. 102.5 is kind of hot. That was sweet.
Okay.
There was something there. Okay.
So here's my question.
Minus 5 points.
No, no minus points there. That's solid. Here's my question, though, and you're the street cred guy.
Okay.
Right? So how many lines do you have to hit before you actually get credit for it? I feel like two good lines, you're not going to get much credit
for it. Three bars lines. It's got to flow. It can't be like that 2 seconds. It has to be like 10 seconds, somewhere around
so,
there.
So, okay. I'm just curious. Yeah, like, yeah. If
10, 12 seconds.
I feel like anyone can write like a couplet.
Yeah.
Or whatever that's called. What is that called?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that what it is? Isn't that a form of poetry? No, that's like 18 lines or 16 lines. Mm. I don't know. What's a haiku? Three sets of four and then a two?
I think a haiku is 14? A Japanese poem.
Right, I think it's 14 lines. Anyway,
there we go.
Meanwhile,
I'm just curious. Like if you get one good line out, people are gonna be like, "Man, come on,
give me some more."
If you get two good lines out, which you just did, are people still like,
"They're asking
you
for
can do
more."
Better.
They're
you can
asking
do better.
For more.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm just curious.
But that was just off the cuff.
That's pretty. Well, I mean, that's what isn't that what freestyling is?
Yeah, you're right.
This whole show's off the cuff.
You're right.
That's fine.
Hey, we pull like your pants up, damn. Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of the SEC.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right. So I don't know how much we should hold coaches accountable for what they say in booster meetings because you're essentially pandering to the base, and pandering to your base has gotten people very, very successful and rich in this country.
Absolutely.
You pander. You can become a lot of media people pander all the time. You can be very successful. So when a coach speaks to a Rotary Club or a booster club, I mean, you're pandering. Barry Odom was pandering at Missouri when he mentioned Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You're pandering. So Lincoln Riley is meeting with the Rotary Club of Oklahoma City. I'm assuming there's just a bunch of Texas fans in that group. And so he's sitting there going, I think some of the TV networks have created an SEC bias over the last few years, and I think it's starting to go away a little bit. After he was asked about the difficulty of recruiting to the defensive side of the football in the Big 12. And he goes, quote, "I think people are starting to see that that's just smoke and mirrors, to be completely honest. I know the coach before me had plenty to say about that. I think that's a cop-out a little bit for people who don't recruit well. We haven't had a problem recruiting defensive players." So I don't really care what a coach says at a Rotary Club because you're pandering to the base. I think SEC fan probably sees this and gets upset, to which you guys know what I would say, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would I say?
Don't take the bait.
Don't take the bait, SEC fans. Don't. Who cares what Lincoln Riley has to say? Now, from a purely analytical standpoint, everything he's saying is factually incorrect because he says, "We haven't had a problem recruiting defensive players." Do you remember the first quarter of the last game you played, Coach?
Hold on. No.
It was 21-0.
But here's the thing.
Georgia dominated you with 16 yards of carry.
He's an idiot for saying that. And I'm going to tell you why he's an idiot. Because if you haven't had a problem recruiting defensive players, then why haven't you played good defense? That's an indictment on you.
That's the point.
That is an indictment on you and your coaching staff. Like, y'all recruiting good defensive players, but are y'all coaching them up?
Again, I know he's pandering to the base, and it's a safe space, right? When you're talking to Oklahoma fans and you're the Oklahoma coach, I get it. But I don't understand why would you go there? Why would you mention that there's an SEC bias? Oh, by the way, here's the other thing that drives me crazy with any league having a bias. ESPN and all the television networks have contracts with every league. ESPN makes money off every single league. They make money with the Big 12. They make money off the SEC. They make money off the Big 10. They make money off the ACC.
But
they have a contract with all of them.
How is it a bias when
or the networks
the national
are just gonna
championships have been won within
right.
the last
and
8 or 10 years by at least the SEC shared.
Go 20 years.
A bulk of the titles won in football.
And
whether it's Alabama, Auburn.
Well, what should some of these big networks do? Should they cover these crap conferences or cover conferences that have elite players and elite teams?
I don't think there's anything wrong with what the networks are doing. My point is they cover them all equally. He's saying that there's an SEC network bias.
I see what he's saying, though, because CBS basically is exclusively the SEC, right? The 3:30, 2:30 window.
But 9 out of 10 SEC games are on ESPN.
Right.
It's not just CBS.
But when you watch an ESPN college football game, and like granted the noon games, you get some Big Ten and some ACC, but the marquee games that ESPN usually carries, if it's not Ohio State, how often is it SEC?
Oh, it's 7 o'clock at night?
Right.
Rarely. No, that's my point. My point is that the ESPN specifically has a contract with every conference, and they promote all of their leagues because they want to make money off of all of them. So it doesn't make any sense that like commentators on the on ESPN are like boosting up SEC defenses to where the he called it smoke and mirrors, and I'm going, dude, where are all the best defensive players located in high school? They're in the southeastern region of the United States. Where do most of them go to college? The SEC. Where are all the best players in the NFL coming from in the NFL draft? 10 years in a row, the SEC has won the NFL draft. So this isn't smoke and mirrors. I just don't understand why what his point is. What does he gain from saying all this? Because you know it's going to get out, and then people like us are going to find it and then have a commentary on it on his show. And guess what happens now with every SEC fan listening? They now don't like Lincoln Riley a little bit more, and they got it a little bit more out for Oklahoma. And when they beat Oklahoma in a playoff game, Oklahoma got crushed by Clemson in a playoff game. They got crushed by Alabama in a playoff game. I know they played well in the first half against Georgia, but they got dominated in the second half, and their defense was atrocious. So their defense has been terrible in playoff games.
Okay, let's just.
I just don't understand what you gain from just spewing lies to your base again.
Well, but
maybe,
here's the thing, like
that's what. How you be successful.
So to Lincoln Riley or anybody that's sick of it, even a Big Ten guy, Derek, I know you're a Michigan State guy. You know, even when I was in Philadelphia and we would talk college football, very rarely people say, oh, you're an SEC apologist, you're a Bama honk. If you don't like the SEC, then do what Clemson has done, recruit at that level, and then beat them two out of three times.
Or Ohio State does that. Ohio State recruits all the players from Florida and then goes and beats Alabama in the Sugar Bowl.
Let's just look at the last 20 years.
Yep.
So we're dating back to what, 2000?
Well, go to 98 because that's the start of the BCS.
98,
and then Tennessee.
And,
it's a championship.
And when you say, well, this big, this SEC bias, and whatnot. Well, okay, let's just look at the championships. And you know, I'm a Big Ten guy, but I'm gonna call it how it is. You got UT in 98, Florida State. That's ACC. Oklahoma. Okay.
I try to do this off the top of my head?
Okay. 2001. Who was it? Who 2001
was Miami over Nebraska.
Okay.
2002 was Ohio State in overtime over Miami.
Okay.
2003 was LSU over Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl, USC beat Michigan in the Rose Bowl and shared it. 2004 would have been the 55 to whatever destruction of Oklahoma, USC in the Orange Bowl, and then you have Texas over USC.
Okay.
Then you got Florida upsetting Ohio State. Then you have LSU beating Oklahoma, then Florida over Oklahoma, then Alabama over Texas. Oh, do we see a trend here, by the way?
Exactly. Do you
all
see a trend?
All the Big 12 teams lose into these SEC teams.
Auburn.
Auburn in 2010 with Cam Newton. 2011, Bama 12, Bama 13, Florida State over Auburn. 14 would have been Ohio State, who beat Alabama. Again, that's to your point, Nick.
SEC team.
But Ohio State beats Alabama and then beats Oregon, but they did it with – out recruiting the SEC teams for SEC players, the Bosas and Zeke Elliotts and all these people.
Zeke ran wild that night.
And they beat Alabama, and because they did what Clemson is doing, like you said, 15.
And then Clemson, Alabama, Clemson. So
This
bias, it's start winning championships, and then maybe it will be a Big 12 bias.
The last time the Big 12 had good defensive players was probably 2008 and 2009, and we've talked about this before. That 2008 team, I think, had Gerald McCoy on it, that Oklahoma team, and they actually played pretty well against Florida in the championship game. I think they held Florida to like 24 points and on that Tebow team. And then, you know, Brian Arakpo and some other guys on that Texas team in 2009 that played against Bama. And so that's the last – it's been 10 years since the Big 12 was producing NFL talent on defense. I just – the facts are one thing. I just don't see you know it's going to get out. I get it. You're pandering to your base, and SEC fans don't take the bait. And maybe I'm taking the bait right here. I don't know. Am I breaking my own rule on this?
Yeah, you're taking a bait.
I just think it doesn't serve any – if I'm around Lincoln Riley, I'm just like, dude, why call attention to this? There's just no reason to say this stuff because you're factually wrong, and all it's going to do is fire up everybody else to beat you.
You're factually wrong. It doesn't matter nowadays. Yeah, you can be wrong all you want to, but once you get it out there and rile up your base, that's all that matters.
Yeah. And listen, at a Rotary Club meeting, I get it. When you're in a room with like – 60 Oklahoma diehards, you're going to start chanting, lock Tom Herman up. I don't know.
So. All right, when we come back.
What did Tom Herman do?
He coaches Texas. They hate him.
You know what, though? Tom Herman might win a national championship before Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
Wait, huh? What? What was that?
Tom Herman might win a national championship before Kirby Smart.
You can't just drop that grenade and then go
to
break.
He might have a point. He might have a point.
I'm saving.
I got action on this.
I was going to save that till July, but
I got action on this. I'll take Kirby Smart.
I'll expound upon it one day down the road.
I want action.
Things aren't as busy.
What are we putting down? Pro V1 balls?
No, well, last time I made a golf ball bet, it took me 7 months to get paid off.
Yeah, but you got them.
But I paid.
Right? You got them, right?
I pay up.
Well,
my
yeah, now the
you got the better ones.
The Cumberland
right?
River has them.
But
now.
You got the better ones. You got the good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With, well, with the quicks.
I pay up my bets.
I paid off my bets. But
I'll take Kirby over Tom Irby.
When we return, Peter Laviolette spoke last night post game, and a couple of people are trying to figure out what he meant. We will play that next, and then we will delve into it here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back in Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Teron Davenport at the top of the hour. But last night, some people on Twitter were wondering what Peter Laviolette was making reference to. The question was, Peter Laviolette was asked about switching up the lines and moving Victor Arvidsson around. Take a listen to the coach's answer, and specifically the first 5 to 10 seconds. Here's Peter Laviolette.
Part of it is we're dealing with some stuff inside the room, and so it was an opportunity to take a look at that tonight for me, and I thought that it would give Kevin a chance up with Joey and Phil. I thought that moving Arv down there, there's just some lines that we haven't tried, and just trying to see what those combinations might be able to do. So I thought that it was good because we were able to generate some offense. I thought the game was a good game for us for the most part. It got a little bit, it just seemed a little bit quiet on our end. Like, we made it quiet. We didn't, but that's the way LA plays too. There's not a lot that goes on. They play a tight checking game, and you just got to stay with it, and it's not the game that goes up and down and it trades 40 chances. It just isn't. So we played the game that was dealt. I thought we stuck with it, especially after they scored the goal. But the lines were just something to try tonight.
So part of it is we're dealing with some things in the room. What does that mean, folks?
That tells me that as we draw closer to the trade deadline, that tells me that there are some things that they're doing. Some moves that they want to make, and you know, maybe it's sitting well with some guys in the room, maybe it's not, but everyone in that locker room knows that there are some deals that some people might not be here
the obvious answer, but let's make sure we kind of step back and what could it mean, right? Like, what are the possible things that could mean? One, it could be a disagreement with some, but it could be personality conflicts in the locker room. That seems unlikely, but that's one thing you could be referring to. Number two, it could be injuries. Craig Smith goes on IR. There could be some injury issues.
Which would be the most logical.
Exactly.
That could also be one.
But if it's injuries, do you phrase it that way right out of the chute in your answer?
That's why we're all kind of like,
And Lavi is extremely meticulous with his words. We know that. So that's a second option. A third option, of course, could be the trade deadline, which is also a very obvious one, mm-hmm. that some guys are nervous about getting traded. And that's I asked Hal about that yesterday and Coach Dan Muse, how do you deal with that? And he's like, listen, all these guys are pros. You just got to deal with it. It is what it is. It sucks, but like, there's a human element there that makes it difficult, but it is what it is. You got to deal with it.
The
last one could be changing of the lineups where a guy's moving up or down a line and he's not happy with it, or he's happy with it, or it's not working or it's working. You know, the power play could be a part of this conversation as well.
So, I don't think the power play has anything to do with what he
but it could
said.
But it could be creating animosity in the room. So just – all of those things are possible. The two likeliest situations are the trade deadline and then injuries.
Exactly.
To me, those are the two likeliest possibilities. But the trade deadline is the most glaring one that's the flashing neon sign that says, look at me, this is what's going on. The curious thing for me is, why does he say it? Because what does Nick Saban do? He's not talking to us. He's not talking to the fans. He's talking to his players. What is the message from Lavi?
The message he's trying to send is, I think, you know what, this is the business. It happens. But you got to learn how to play through it. You know, I think that's the message or whatever. I think that's what he's trying to send to the guys that potentially could be, you know, the guys that are dealt. Listen, it happens. I know it sucks. But you got to play through this, because what if it doesn't happen? You know,
And one thing, too, that I think people don't ever put into account, because all we look at is production and what the player's making. And, Derek, you've went through this. Not saying you were traded, but you know, when you go from Tennessee to Baltimore, you know, yeah, you're making millions of dollars to play a game, but you've got wives, you've got girlfriends, you've got kids, you've got schools, you've got doctors. Like, you know, these are people. The human element gets lost in all of this.
There is a lot that goes on. The average person doesn't realize, yes, because I make millions of dollars doesn't exempt me from everyday problems. Actually, it heightens it, because I can get you never really see someone working in an office and their employee come in and say, you know what, we're gonna, you know, pack up your stuff, we're dealing you to another company or to an office in California.
Johnny, you've been traded from State Farm to Allstate.
And you need to be there tomorrow. Like, we're sending you from this office to the office of California, and you need to be there tomorrow, and you're staying there for the next 4 or 5 years. Very seldom do you see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a buildup. It's coming into the office. Well, Johnny, Samantha, how do you feel about moving to such and such? You know, I'm going to give you a while. Think about it.
She's just never agreeable, though.
Exactly.
She's always disagreeable. She's always causing problems in meetings.
But she's at 90% of her quota. So.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And so we're going to give you time to sit down and think about this. Do you want to do it? Would this work for you? In the world of sports, it's no, hey, Derek, we're thinking about trading you. Think about it. And let me know what you think. No, hey, Derek, we traded you. You're gone. And now you got to pick up all your stuff. Your kid's still in school if you got kids. Your wife, she's trying to figure everything out. It's hectic. And when guys are put in that position while they're playing, it does take a toll on you. And I think what Lavi is trying to say is he's throwing it out there. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's frustrating. But keep playing. Keep playing. We're dealing with some stuff, but keep playing. Because you know what? It might not happen. You know? The trade might not even go down. So just continue to play, and whatever happens moving forward, it just happens.
Is there a chance that his comment is just reflective of all of this stuff combined? Like, hey, we're dealing with some stuff in the locker room because we got one guy who's hurt. We got a couple guys that might get traded. We got David Poyle wandering around Bridgestone on the cell phone.
I mean,
it's just... And it's
look,
just all of it.
There's, you know, it could be
power play sucks.
It could be illness. I mean, you could have, you know, guys sick. I mean,
heads are falling off.
There could be a lot of different things.
They all ate bad soup in Detroit one time. I mean,
right.
it could be anything.
Because I know Ekholm missed a game recently because of illness. So, you know, there's
but
that.
But the glaring
too.
Thing is obviously the trade deadline, and we all understand it and know it. And those guys in the locker room, they understand it. They know who the quote-unquote untouchables are. They know the guys that are not getting traded, and then they know the guys that has a possibility of getting traded. They're not sitting around in that locker room with blinders on. They're not. They understand it. They get it. They know what's going on.
You'd be stupid not to.
Exactly.
I mean, like,
they know what's going on, and I think that does, you know, play on the feelings of certain people, even the guys that are not getting traded. You know, because they spend time with these guys. They've met their families, and it's sad to see a guy go, you know, whoever it is.
You think the constable will be dealt before the radio trade deadline?
Nope.
We tried to trade you
I'm
to
blocking
Dallas
all
for
trades.
Well, I'm
blocking all trades.
You have a no-trade clause for our producer?
Yeah.
No, I have a no-trade clause in my contract, so.
And I'm reinforcing it.
Well, I have a list, so I can submit a list of shows that I would be traded
but
to.
But you're an RFA, right? Not a UFA? You're restricted?
I'm restricted.
No. The constable list is life unrestricted.
I just signed a long-term deal. So.
Chase, if you try to leave or if they try to trade you, I'm chaining myself to your car. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I have on my, like,
the bumper, the hood.
You would last, like, 30 minutes. You'd be like, it's cold. Where's my heating pad?
Chase just re-upped for 10 years and $300,000. You do the math.
Yeah, I will. There you go.
I think the constable lives life.
But I do have a clause in my contract that says I can opt out if we don't have new chairs in the studio by a certain point. So
I like that.
Okay.
Still don't have the chairs.
So there you go.
You know,
stole a chair.
We've got Teron Davenport, Titans reporter for ESPN.
Teron.
He is coming up next, and I'm going to ask him about a change of heart that I'm having regarding the 19th pick. Back after this on Morning Drive.